On this episode, we smoke the Davidoff Winston Churchill, and we pair it with the Glenglassa Sand End Whiskey Advocates Whiskey of the Year. I'm your host, Johnny Midas, and you're listening to Burn Line Podcast.
Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
And what's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you, as always, not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Blanco Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Union Cigar, Hanover, Pennsylvania, USA, the only Blanco Cigar Lounge in North America, and the Hot Box is storing a lot of shit in it today, huh? Mm-hmm. So, a lot of extra product at Union Cigar Hanover.
Yeah.
And still working that out. So, pretty cool stuff, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had half that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, pretty cool. On this episode, we are smoking the Davidoff Winston Churchill Toro. And this is the biggest ring gauge in the Churchill series. And of course, there's the later addition to this line, which is the Churchill Late Hour, mm-hmm. which has a darker wrapper. And we are also going to drink this Glenglassa Sand End. So this is a Highland single malt Scotch whiskey. And it won Whiskey Advocates Whiskey of the Year.
Okay.
It's 101 proof.
Ooh.
So.
Trying to kill me.
Yeah, something like that. But that should be pretty good. Sporting our Fat Boy Cigars t-shirts this morning. So shout out to Fat Boys. Appreciate you sending those by. It's even the right color and has gold on it. So I'm happy.
There you go.
Anyway, so why don't we start by getting these cigars going.
Okay.
And of course, Davidoff is famous, and we'll talk a little bit about Zeno Davidoff and, you know, the name and role he played in the cigar industry, but they're luxury cigars and they're fucking expensive,
right?
And so we're pairing it with a slightly, you know, more expensive
drink.
Maybe not per serving is probably less, but a very nice Scotch. And also I'm wearing my Rolex Datejust timepiece just to carry the theme over. So 18 karat gold.
Wearing my Citizen, I forget what it's called. I think Geo
Eco Drive.
Eco Drive, yeah.
Oh, nice. The black and copper.
Yep. One.
So yeah, high luxury. And of course, we've got our premium coffee, 2C Premium. And this is a unique blend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely
so
unique.
We cannot tell all of you guys out there what we're drinking because you are just little people and we're special. So why don't we get smoking these special cigars on presentation. So of course I don't have a box. The cigar comes in cello. It's got a barcode for the retailer on the back that says Davidoff. And this is what I fucking love. They perforated the damn thing.
Yeah.
So you can literally just pop it in half, no problem. Doesn't affect the barcode at all. Like somebody with a brain thought of this. You know, really, really well done there. Although, you know, it's not really a presentation per se. Most people aren't going to notice that, but I do. Super helpful for whoever's opening it up, and also the retailer, because you can just program that into your point of sale system, and it tells what it is. Dav WSC Toro, Davidoff Winston Churchill Toro. Sliding it out of the cello, it's got a pretty nice natural wrapper, but for me, this is in the uncanny valley between what I would call rustic and fine, right? It's got some mottling, it's got some chips missing in the leaf. It's
we
got some places where I'm not sure the wrapper's like sealed down all the way, but it's not rustic yet. So it's really surprising. Like it doesn't look like the El Septimos did, all perfect and glossy, you know. But it also doesn't look like, you know, a Padron, for example, where it's like, this is the fruit of the earth.
Right.
We're just, you know, we're just fermenting it and pressing it. So it's in this weird, to me, it's in this uncanny valley. So really interesting cigar here. And then it's got the white band with the Davidoff logo. Nothing really impressive there, you know, with the gold, and it's embossed. I think Davidoff, you know, plays off of their heritage a lot. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Looks elegant, though.
Yeah, it is. This is kind of like, I don't know, like Lexus, you know, like, mm-hmm. yeah, maybe appeals to old people a little bit more, you know, but it's definitely nice. Maybe not everybody's cup of tea, but definitely like stayed laid back, you know, kind of like almost like old money,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. like old money drives like a Mercedes station wagon. You know, new money drives like a Lamborghini, you know, a green off-road Lamborghini or something. So that's what the presentation reminds me of. And I forgot my cutter and lighter, so let me grab that.
It's all right. I'll grab your ashtray.
Yeah, you grab the ashtray. All right, we're back. Speaking of fine things, I've got a ST DuPont side lighter on order.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's black and gold.
Oh, shit.
They didn't have a white and gold one, but close enough. So, yeah, I'll be interested to
see when you pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, just, I've got that fake one, which I really like. Hopefully this one's better since it costs like $1,200 more. Fake one. So, all right. I think it is time for the official cutting, which is brought to you by Fat Boy Cigars. The bold and delicious flavors of premium hand-selected tobacco leaves are highlighted in the original Jacked cigar by Fat Boy Cigars. Don't forget the Jacked 2 and also the Fat Boy Cigars Boots on the Ground series. For every cigar you purchase in this series, Fat Boy Cigars will donate $1 to charities benefiting our frontline heroes. Fat Boy Cigars, welcome to the Fat Boys world. And I am using my open-ended double guillotine. You have your large ring gauge, yep. Open-ended double guillotine. And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. And we're just doing the little tap on the back of our hand. Get those little speckles of tobacco out. Wait till you learn how fucking Winston Churchill used to light his cigars.
Yeah. Did he chew them off?
No. That would have been slightly less weird. I got a pretty good cut. I've got a little room left on the shoulder. This is one of those cigars that kind of has like a very flat end on the Parejo.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like there's not a lot of wiggle room on it. Very interesting. So this is the Davidoff Winston Churchill Toro 6x54. And it features a Ecuadorian wrapper,
ooh,
a Mexican binder, and Dominican and Nicaraguan fillers for the price of $23.89.
Okay.
Is the MSRP. So why don't we get these lit up and start enjoying it, and then we can talk about it a little bit more.
Okay.
It is time for the official lighting, which is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee, which we are currently enjoying. The coffee that we chose to pair with our cigars.
Yeah.
Keep your day fueled with delicious premium coffee from 2C Premium Coffee, featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world. 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning maintenance. And I am lighting up with my Johnny Midas Gold Bar single flame butane torch. And you've got a more traditional jet, butane jet. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat this cigar with the love and affection it deserves, and it will return the favor. By the way, if this is your first video or podcast, with Burn Line, be sure to go to our YouTube channel and check out How to Light a Cigar, the Burn Line Podcast Way, where we talk about clipping your cigar with authority, no limp wristed cutting allowed, about toasting, not roasting, about the hand job, and all of the elements that go into a delicious cigar experience. Switching over to my Jet, because it's easier to touch up specific spots.
So yes, there is up and downsides to using either or.
At 54, this is a big enough ring gauge that sometimes you want to just hit one side or the other. Did you see that smoke ring?
No, I did not.
Oh, you missed it. That was a pretty good one. All right. So before we get to the Glenglassa, let's smoke a little bit on this. So this is the first Davidoff that we've smoked on the show. The other brands that Davidoff currently sells is Avo, Camacho, and Zeno.
Okay.
I think Zeno is still being produced. Not 100%. So we've taken the first few puffs, and I guess we're like maybe an eighth of an inch in, something like that. This is a lot of cigar.
Yeah, it is.
6x54. We haven't smoked one this big in a long time. I think here's what's going through my mind smoking this. You know, this Davidoff presents itself as the premium brand, and it also has Avo, which it presents as like a heritage mid-level. It has Camacho, which is introductory or starter brand, and it has Zeno Platinum, which is fucking expensive, luxury, blah, blah. And like I said, the MSRP on this is $24 you know, for a Toro, so double what we're normally paying for a Toro that we're smoking on the show. And so, of course, you have to start by asking, is it twice as good? Which the answer is almost certainly not. Like, that'd be really challenging. And so then you have to ask, like, is it worth it?
Right.
And so, you know, my take on this is like, is this a truly luxury experience, or is it branding and hype?
Right.
Now, all cigars and brands have their fans, right? I have the interesting sort of position of, I think I've smoked like one Zeno Platinum, handful of Avos, actually like Avos, and maybe like one other Davidoff in my whole life.
Yeah, this is
literally one Zeno Platinum, like one Davidoff in my whole life.
This is my first Davidoff.
It's your first Davidoff, right? So we're I think we're neutral enough to like kind of assess, like we don't have any brand loyalty or anything like that.
Or hate.
Or brand hate. Most of the lounges I've gone to that have Davidoff, you know, for sale, I just couldn't afford them. And that's why I haven't really smoked them. Now I'm Johnny Midas and I can afford expensive cigars, so we're gonna give it a shot. Okay, so the first thing I'll say is, it is sort of smooth and medium bodied.
Yeah,
but it's also like, the smoke is a little, I don't know what the right word is, harsh. The smoke is like
a little bitter.
It's stronger than I would expect from this cigar. I will say that this has a taste that's like remarkably similar to actual Cubans that I've smoked.
Okay.
They're just really, a lot of companies try to capture that. What's the Fuente brand? Casa de Cuba?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they try the Fernandez de Esta Gloria, although that I think that's a stronger, slightly spicier cigar than traditional Cubans.
Okay.
This one comes really close, so I'm assuming that's like on purpose. I don't know. But it is, like a lot of Cubans, the smoke itself is like sort of stronger than the flavor, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think we're what, a little over quarter in. You're about 3/8 of an inch in.
Yeah.
So I think that we're far enough in that we can do some tasting notes.
This is a strange one.
Well, there's definitely leather and wood. I think that there's a spicy component there for sure.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not like immediately hits you. It's like after the smoke leaves my mouth, the aftertaste is spicy.
Yeah, I'm getting like some spicy and cedar.
Yes. So, but it's like crushed red pepper. Okay. It's not cayenne, you know, which has that bitter to right. it. And it's not black pepper. It's like crushed red pepper that has that slightly sweet component. And it's literally after you exhale, it's what's left on your palate. So it's very interesting. Leather, yes, wood. I think it's cedar wood. And then there's also like a creamy sweet in there as well.
Yeah, I would agree.
And the wood is like, the wood flavor, it's interesting. It's definitely cedar, but it almost tastes like damp cedar.
Yeah. Yeah, the smoke is definitely, what would you say, overwhelming? Or overpowering?
It's powerful. Like, it doesn't produce that much smoke, and it's a light smoke. But, like, you feel it on every pore in your mouth.
Yeah.
And your tonsils in your throat. Like, it's a... I hate to use the word harsh because that's like a bad word.
Yeah, it's like a negative, but it's like when you use harsh in this, it doesn't mean like terrible.
Right, it's like strong, you know? Yeah, so, and that is very similar to me of some of the Cuban cigars I've smoked.
Where
it's sort of, it's light smoke, it's aromatic. What is missing though in this is the floral component.
So yeah.
A lot of Cuban cigars have like this floral component that is missing from this. Draw is good.
Yeah, actually it's pretty easy, but it's not too easy.
Yeah I'm not thrilled with the smoke output. It just doesn't feel like it's putting out enough smoke, but then once it's in your mouth it's like, wow, that's
strong. You got smoke.
See, when I don't get enough smoke, I do this double puff.
I do as well.
Okay? You'll see me do this double puff where like I draw the smoke in twice and it's barely enough smoke to do a retrohale. Because you need, you know, you gotta force it through all of that. So, light smoke output, but it is pretty strong.
Yeah.
So that's our initial tasting notes. Now, we'll also say that, I'll also say up front a couple things about this cigar. Number one, like most Davidoff products, they're a little tight-lipped on where it comes from. So this is kind of the difference between old cigar and new cigar. In the old days, what you were trying to sell was a finished luxury product, and you don't look inside the sausage factory, right? And the new cigar world is the exact opposite, right? It's like, no, we grew it in this region, in this valley. Here's the fucking farmer that picked it.
Right.
You know, come into our factory, see everything, and it adds to the story. Right. And
yeah,
like that's the in thing right now is experience. Well, the experience, like, I don't just want to experience a great cigar. I want to empathize with the love and care that went into producing this.
Right. Right?
And so it's kind of like the shift in eating has gone from, you know, I'm going to this fancy restaurant with like dim lighting and like, you know, chandeliers to eat this, you know, filet mignon that looks perfect to, no, I want to go to the farm and pick the goat you're
going
to slaughter, you know, and I want to, you know, and then I want to eat it on like a stone slab outside. You know?
Right, we want to do a proper sacrifice.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's consumerism has evolved. And so this is still very old school with that. Like, they'll tell you, you know, Ecuadorian wrapper, Mexican binder, Dominican and Nicaraguan filler. And that's as far as they go.
Right.
On it. And for some context, the Cigar Authority gave this a 93, which is, you know,
okay,
good,
pretty decent,
not great, you know, not superb, but good. And then Cigar Journal gave it a 91, which is also, you know, that's in the, you know, good category. So, you know, above like 94 and above is your top tier cigars. 91 to 93 is like your really good cigars.
So I've been getting this weird split the whole way down.
Yeah, it's following something, and I think right. it's the binder. I okay. think there is a I think there's
the binder.
Yes, there's a something in the binder because leaves naturally burn that way, but it's not on the wrapper.
Right.
Right.
Because look at where the vine's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's opposite of that V crack. I'm a little worried about continuing to puff because. Oh. Actually, that'd be cool to catch a cigar pop on camera.
Well, we'll see. We're gonna see what happens. All right, so let's get into this scotch. So we decided, you know, this is definitely a luxury episode. So we've got this Glenglassaugh. That's how you pronounce it. Glenglassaugh. So there is nobody worse at spelling English words than the British of all types. You know, between the Welsh, the Scottish, the Irish, you know, the English letters don't actually make the sounds that you need to for these, you know, local dialects. And Scottish is pretty tough. I think Welsh is probably worse.
Yeah.
But anyway, nobody knows how to fucking spell it, so they just threw a bunch of consonants.
You know what's funny? This bottle looks like a glass bottle of apple juice that you can buy at the supermarket.
It does. It's fucking hilarious. It looks just like the, what is it, Ocean Spray brand.
And I think Snapple has bottles like that still.
It looks just like that. It is gorgeous, though. So this is the Glenglassaugh Sand End Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. It is 100 proof, and it won the Whiskey Advocate Whiskey of the Year last year.
Okay.
And it's called a Coastal Malt, which is odd because it's a Highland. Okay. Scotch instead of Islay or Speyside. So we're gonna try this neat, the way that God intended scotch to be drunk.
You're gonna murder me.
That's the plan.
Oh shit. Oh, good thing I bought the life insurance.
All right. Give that a little swirl. Nice. Interesting. All right, palate coat.
Smells fruity before I even drink it.
One of the best ways to properly taste a whiskey like this is to do a mouthwash first, sort of coat the palate. Ooh. It fucking tastes like apple juice.
Spicy and fruity.
Yeah.
Well,
strong. Wow. Well, I mean, I can see why that scored so high.
Yeah.
But that is like spiced apple juice. It is an interesting flavor. I don't know how they got that at a fucking malt. So, inspired by the crescent beach of Sand End Bay, Glenglassaugh Sand End is matured in bourbon, sherry, and manzanilla casks for luscious waves of flavor. So how do you like those luscious waves of flavor? Ooh, it's imported by Brown-Forman.
Oh,
I had to sort of preemptively put on my hangover sunglasses.
Yeah. I did not bring hangover sunglasses.
I'm going to need these in the morning. Yeah, it is 100 proof. That is delicious.
Dude, that was good, though.
It is so good. Yeah, definitely. It's got a bunch of fruit in it, like apple, pear, peach. I tasted all of those. And then it's got this spice in it that's just like mulled cider almost.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that is good as shit.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess I'm an inch in. You're a little farther in, probably because I'm doing all the yakking as usual. Great ash. Great ash on it. It's a bigger cigar than I like. You know that I'm a Robusto guy.
Yeah.
Or Corona.
But, check that out, though. I'm getting such weird burn pattern, though.
It is really interesting. I wonder how it's bunched.
Yeah, and I'm rotating, you know, the proper way.
So when you ash that, I want to cut the ash apart because I think that's book bunched. As yeah. opposed to accordion. So yeah. The difference between booking and accordion, you know, booking is your, like, easiest mass yeah. production style. Accordion, you take each leaf and fold it up back and forth, mm-hmm. like an accordion. Booking is the same thing, except you stack the leaves.
Right.
You know, it's a lot faster.
Yeah.
And then end tube R is each leaf is rolled up into a little tube, and end tube R is an amazing smoke, but it's expensive and
right hard. Because it's the manual labor into it.
The Herrera Esteli Miami that we smoked on the show.
So you can see right there, see how it goes like that and then like that. I think it's accordion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You might be right. But yeah, the Herrera Esteli Miami by Drew Estate is N2 bar construction. Okay. And it smoked really well.
Yeah. Yeah, what the heck? I got another sparkler.
I feel like that's got to be a you thing. So I think it's calmed down a little bit.
The spice part? Yeah.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, it's still leather and wood.
Yeah, I didn't get much change even with the scotch.
Yeah, so we can try try pairing them. I'm going to do the sip, puff sip, and then I'm going to do the shot method. So sip, sort of coat my palate. Wow.
It is a great drink.
So good, man. It's got like a vanilla cream to it as well. All right, so now that I've got that on my palate,
all right,
take a nice puff. I would say that the main difference is it just mutes the cigar.
Ooh.
It's just a little strong. It puts so much onto the palate that the cigar kind of only comes through as a little note of leather and wood. It's actually less flavor from the cigar.
Yeah. It tones down the cigar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it does. It's a great flavor from the cigar, but it's super muted. Now, for some context, Davidoff of Geneva recommends on their webpage pairing this with Glenmorangie or Macallan Amber.
Okay.
I know that Glenmorangie is a Highland. I don't think I've had Macallan Amber.
No. I've had other Macallans, but not.
I don't think I've had that one. So this is kind of right in line with what they recommend.
You know what that word means right there, right?
Manzanilla?
Yeah.
No.
That's apple in Spanish.
What?
That's apple in Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Apple. Yeah, that's why we're in a huge apple burst.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because Manzanilla is like an apple brandy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that explains it. I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, so Manzanilla, if I wanted to ask for an apple.
Oh, apple soda.
Manzana. Okay, yeah. I know what that is. Yeah.
And then
okay.
In Mexico, Manzanilla is an apple soda.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it makes sense now.
Yeah, it does.
Full circle.
full circle. Yeah, so I remember some of my Spanish from Duolingo. Manzana. Let's see. What's orange? Oranga?
No. Naranja.
Naranja. Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember that. Boleto means like ticket, right?
Boleto, yeah.
Boleto.
Yep.
Autobus.
Yep.
donde está la toilet?
Yeah. That's a very important phrase in any language.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've got to get serious and just actually learn Spanish.
I was going to say, I think you're going to start needing it.
I think so, yeah.
Well, besides this, but the day job.
Yeah. It's just tough because, you know, I'm trying to like, it's not the language. It's, you know, when I'm talking to you at work, there's a way to interact with you that conveys masculine respect.
Yeah.
And that's the nuance of English that I just grew up with.
Right.
I don't know that in Spanish. So you know how, like, if I ask you to do something, I might be like, hey, fuck nuts, get that done.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, bro. You know. But if I'm talking to a woman, I would be like, excuse me, would you mind doing that?
Right.
You know, but it would sound weird. If I said that to you, you're like, oh, why are you being standoffish, you know, or something like that.
It's like, if you're polite, you're being offensive.
Yeah, so weird. A little bit. You know, so I don't want to do that in Spanish.
Right.
So, like, I can learn all the vocab and stuff.
Yeah.
But learning how to actually communicate well, that's the thing that is going to be tough. All right, so we are smoking the Davidoff Winston Churchill Toro. You can see my wrapper leaf is coming off.
Ooh.
Just flat out coming off, and that's where that little hole was on the side.
Dude, two cigars in a row.
I'm going to do the lick and stick and see if that helps. honestly, for $24, haven't been impressed with the quality.
The only issues I'm having is just my burn line is so uneven. I don't understand why.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect the
no, not the
experience.
Right, really. It's just weird. I've never seen something like that. Tell you what, this ash is holding up pretty well, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him that.
So let's talk about Davidoff. And of course, these are named after Zeno Davidoff, and that's where the Zeno Platinum brand came from. He was known as the King of Cigars. He was born in 1906 in Geneva, Jewish businessman, and he ran his Davidoff cigar store from 1926 to 1994, where he passed away. He was like 80 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So basically, he ran this cigar store, and after World War II, he acquired his own production license. And then it really took off in 1968.
Okay.
So, Cuba Tobacco, which was the original state-run tobacco monopoly in Cuba, asked him to produce Davidoff cigars there. They approached him. So I'm not sure why, other than I think that at the time they were trying to, like, get some clout, you know, since a lot of the folks left.
Yeah.
You know, when the state took over.
When Fidel.
The means of production.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a lot of reasons for the revolution, including, like, the prior guy was basically a mobster.
He was the same energy, just opposite end of the political spectrum.
Something like that,
because he was like an authoritarian dictator, and then boom, comes in a socialist dictator. So it's like apple from the same tree, just different side of the tree.
Well, and you know, the cigar makers, they didn't really care.
Mm-mm.
Until really it wasn't until after they had come in and started you know, the revolution that they decided they were going to be Marxist. And it wasn't until they took over the means of production that, you know, people really got scared and started leaving.
Right. Yeah, because they were promised, you know, freedom, blah, blah, blah. And
none of that. Yeah, freedom from tyranny, all that. So El Laguito was the factory in Havana that El Laguito was the factory in Havana that made Cohibas, which was, you know, the favorite smoke of Fidel Castro.
Mm.
And Cohiba just means cigar.
And Cuban Spanish. And
Cuban Spanish. So, you know, they were like kind of the cheapies, you know, man of the people, all of that. You know. And now Cohiba's like this super luxury brand. It's fucking ironic as shit.
And there's two Cohibas.
Right. Well, there's two Davidoffs too, and that's what we're getting into. Right. So Davidoffs were Cuban cigars. They did very well. So in 1970, Oettinger AG in Basel, now AG is just Swedish for like corporation, basically, a company. They acquired the Davidoff trademark. And so apparently Davidoff was doing really well.
Okay.
And was able to sell that for a lot of money. But he was still involved with making the cigars. He just didn't own the brand per se. And so he was making these Cuban Davidoffs, and that went along just fine. But he kept having problems with the central planners in communist Cuba, basically setting production targets, and they just couldn't meet while meeting the quality that he wanted to display in his cigars.
Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm. So in 1989, Zeno publicly burned 100,000 cigars produced by the El Laguito factory that he deemed unfit to sell.
That is a hell of a flex.
Needless to say, he stopped producing cigars in Cuba. So all the Cubans were officially discontinued by 1991, and he signed an agreement that none of the Davidoff cigars produced in Cuba would be sold. But it was really after that that Cuba was like, fuck you.
Right? Wow.
So he said fuck you first,
right?
But so it was mutual. In 1991, the first Dominican Davidoff was produced, and from then on Davidoff has been a Dominican brand.
Hmm.
So that's a little bit about the Davidoff brand, and
that's some crazy history. I did not know that. I'm learning. Yeah.
So, by the way, a Davidoff Cuban is almost impossible to find and sells for ridiculous money.
If there are any around, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They go up for auction from time to time.
So with that, that means there's a large counterfeit market as well on top of that.
I don't think there's a large counterfeit for Cuban Davidoffs because they're so old and rare at this point that
hopefully somebody could tell, hey, that's not a
well, it's more like, so you're gonna try to make a counterfeit and then auction it off for thousands of dollars. You know, well, you better have good provenance or they're not gonna auction it.
Right.
You know.
I don't know, I hear 160-year-old Cubans in our future.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we
more maybe we, more on that.
Yeah, century and a half. More on that later. Behind the scenes of Burn Line. So you can see this wrapper's just
fucking it's coming gone. Off at this point. It said,
yeah,
it's just coming off. And that Davidoff said, fuck you.
Yeah, so I'm going to hold this up to the camera so that folks can see that wrapper's just coming. I can see the binder underneath it.
It's wild. Why would that?
I don't know. It's just not wrapped well. Mm. I'm trying to do the lick and stick. Sometimes that works. Usually it doesn't, but sometimes it does. We'll see if we can keep that going. So that's Davidoff. And then, you know, there was a bunch of, like, Davidoff, they spun off a Davidoff designer brand that made clothing and everything else.
No shit.
I think it was 81. And what folks say is the reason they did that was all of a sudden marketing tobacco became really difficult. And so a few companies did this thing where they spun off a brand with the same sort of name to make other stuff that you could advertise. And so it's like peripheral advertising, you know, kind of like if you advertised like a Marlboro cowboy hat, you know, like you're also advertising the brand.
Right. When was the last year for the Marlboro F1? Because I remember that was a big deal. Or no.
Late.
It late was 90s, right?
No, I think it was 2000s.
Really?
Might have been late 90s, yeah.
Huh.
And then Ferrari, they were, their major advertiser was Mission Winnow.
I don't know that one.
That is Marlboro's spinoff brand.
Huh.
And if you squint your eyes and look at the Mission Winnow logo, it looks like a cigarette with ash at the end. Like they literally designed it to look like that. Subliminal marketing.
I should, yeah, because I remember it used to be a huge, it became a huge deal. Like, I think late 90s was the anti, like,
yeah,
tobacco push.
Well, the Marlboro man died of cancer, so.
Yeah, you did.
All of them did. More than one did.
That's why they're called the cowboy killers.
Yeah. So, back to the cigar. Hasn't changed much for me.
No, it really hasn't. The spice has toned down a lot.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of the spice, which is not bad.
No, it's not bad. And it's still, like, even at the beginning, it was like if you took cream and warmed it up in a pot and then put crushed red pepper flakes in it, right? And so there's still, to me, there's some of that, like, when the smoke leaves your mouth, a little bit of that. I think the whiskey kind of killed that, though.
Yeah. Got a little bit of, like, a nutmegish right at the end.
Hmm.
On a retro, like very, very subtle at the end.
Yep. Yeah, I'm tasting that too. Good call out.
Yeah.
But mostly cedar and leather.
Yeah, cedar and leather the whole way.
Yeah. Which is nice. I mean, it's a nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice flavor.
It's a nice combo.
I wouldn't mind having a little floral in this.
Yeah.
Maybe some like. I'm thinking like. Some Honduran. Honduran Dioro.
Okay.
Would maybe add that. Or the Honduran Piloto kind of has that flavor as well. And so this is the Winston Churchill. Now, I think a lot of folks understand that there is good reason to sort of pair Winston Churchill with cigars.
Right.
Right. But other than the legend of, you know, I mean, the band literally has the silhouette of Winston Churchill.
Right.
With his whatever derby hat, whatever hat that's called.
Just to note, history nerd here, this is the World War II silhouette of Churchill, not World War I or previous.
With the cigar as well.
Right.
In fact, there's a funny story. There were these potters that were making these jugs of Winston Churchill's bust, smoking a cigar. And the king, I think it was King Charles, but there's so many fucking,
It
renames
should have
in
been
English
Charles,
history.
yeah.
Like, but he was examining them, and he said, in his typical reserved, serious monarch tone, "I don't believe Winston Churchill smokes his cigar at such a low angle." And they literally went back to the drawing board and like redesigned these jugs. It became a serious topic. What angle of cigar does Churchill smoke?
Right there, I mean,
Is it
remember,
this? Is it this? Is it, you know?
they're very proper.
But that's how like synonymous he was with the cigar. So
Yeah.
here's some interesting facts about Winston Churchill. First of all, he was born in 1874. He died in 1965.
Damn, that was
He was
late.
90 and a half years old. So that just goes to show that smoking cigars regularly prolongs your
Yeah.
lifespan.
Actually, there's a lot of people that are past 100 that credit cigars to their longevity.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that guy that's in Mississippi that's like 110.
Yeah, he's a World War II veteran. Yeah, he's like
Yeah. Smokes like
fucking
five cigars a day.
five cigars and a whiskey in the morning, first thing. I'm like, let's go.
Your results may vary. You're not healthcare
We're not
professionals.
professional. Okay, let's make that
Yeah.
legal note
All
disclaimer.
right.
We're not
Disclaimer, disclaimer. Yeah.
healthcare
His mother was an American,
Yeah.
Jenny Jerome. So she married Lord so and so. So typical, like
Yeah.
fairy tale princess story or whatever. Not that that ever happens. You never see like an American actress marrying somebody, with a title in England. That never happens. So where he picked up his cigars, he was stationed in Havana, and he was in the military. In Britain, sometimes military service is different from
Right.
ours, where like you join the military and you're forever in the military, but it's like almost an honorific,
Yeah.
and then they could call you up for service.
Right. And I believe his military service was a military correspondent. It wasn't like a combative role.
Right, he wasn't killing people
Right.
in his role, but he kept. I mean, he was in the military till he died.
Right, yeah.
He was Queen's Hussars, a whole bunch of different
Yeah,
regiments and groups, mostly
Admiralty,
honorific.
yeah, Admiralty of the Navy twice.
In fact, I will read a list of his political appointments. His favorite brands were Romeo y Julieta and La Aroma de Cuba. Now, fair note, those were both Cuban brands. La Aroma de Cuba came back a few years ago, maybe a decade or so.
Yeah,
And of course, it's not Cuban.
Cuban, but.
Same thing with the Romeos we buy here. However, Romeo is still around as a Cuban cigar as well. Kind of fits into the Davidoff thing. The difference being there are no more Davidoff Cubans, thanks to him burning 100,000 boxes, his own
Dude,
private
that
Boston Tea
is just a
Party.
flex.
That is such a fucking flex. And it's stated that he stashed 3,000 to 4,000 cigars in his estate.
Like a little urban legend.
His valet, Ron Howell, I think, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a valet, and he wrote a book, Just Churchill. I think it was called Just Churchill. And it's like a expose memoir. And he said, it took me a little while to come to terms with the fact that Churchill would smoke cigars that cost more in a day than my weekly salary. So this guy was just puffing all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean,
But he would frequently let them go out and just chew on them. And so he invented this thing called a belly bando. And it was a strip of brown paper with glue on the end, and he would put it around the part that goes in your mouth and glue it around there, just like a band, so that it wouldn't like just spray to hell with him chewing on it. And that's probably why he was able to consume so many in a day. Otherwise, the nicotine would severely affect him. He'd just get nicotine poisoning. And yeah, so he constantly had one, five or six a day. Cuban cigars. So really, the association of Davidoff and Churchill is really just that Churchill was a cigar smoker. So there's not like a association like, you know,
Partnership, like, yeah.
like Davidoff was sending him cigars, even though they were concurrent, you know, like Davidoff was had his own producer's license and was selling. Now, Churchill died before Davidoff cigars started being manufactured in Cuba. But they were concurrent. So it could have happened. It didn't. They just are using the name because he was a cigar smoker.
Yeah.
It was King George,
King George.
the sixth or something. Like, apparently you're only allowed to have like two names if you're an English king.
The
It's
nth
like, yeah,
George.
you can be George, Charles, Edward, or John. Like, those are the
Right.
four.
Which is weird because they were all told, all right, now you have to pick a name when you become king. Which is kind of weird. Like you said, the names. It's like, because when Elizabeth came through, she was like, ma'am, are you going to be taking Mary? And she's like, no. She's like, I'm Queen Elizabeth. That's that.
So
Okay.
interestingly, he was in the Liberal Party for like 5 years early in his career. Then he switched to the Conservative Party, and then he switched back to the Liberal Party post World War II. And here is his political offices. He was father of the House of Commons from 59 to 64. So the twilight of his career. I don't know if father of the House of Commons is like an official thing, or they made it up for him because he was the old dude that had been there forever. Leader of the opposition, leader of the Conservative Party for 15 years, Minister of Defense, First Lord of the Admiralty, Chancellor of the Exchequer, Secretary of State for the Colonies, he was a colonialist, Secretary of State for Air, Secretary of State for War, Minister of Munitions, Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, First Lord of the Admiralty, Home Secretary, President of the Board of Trade. As well, his parliamentary offices included Member of Parliament for Woodford, Epping, Dundee, Manchester Northwest, and Oldham. So, super active and famous for writing now the collected works of Winston Churchill, which I own a first edition copy,
Nice.
$8,000. Fucking that wide books. He was a prolific writer, and God damn did he have a way with words. That guy could fucking put words together like magic. So he really, I felt like he really, he's one of those guys that found his calling. You
Yeah,
know,
he
he.
like I said, he learned a lot of his writing in the military. Like I said, his correspondence, I believe he was stationed at the Boer Wars. He wrote about everything he was at, and he just got better every time. He also wrote, I don't know if it's listed on there, A History of the English Peoples.
Interesting.
Yeah. About Saxons. So.
And today we would say that you know, he was pretty biased in his writing,
Yeah.
which
Clearly.
everybody is,
Right,
you
clearly.
know.
Especially in that time period, you were very prideful on where you came from, like.
And also defensive because colonialism was coming under fire. He lived during a period right before public sentiment changed. Wait a minute, why are you invading and conquering other people? But you have to remember, in the Middle Ages in Europe, that was the thing. And it wasn't like you didn't have to go find, oh, there it goes.
Damn
And the 4-inch ash is gone.
it. Man, that was pretty good though.
Yeah, that was good. That was real good. So let me see if I
There you
can
go,
cut
it's in
this.
half. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I think it's accordion.
I think so, because I'm seeing separate leaves accordion.
Yeah, and the way that's kind of like square.
Interesting. Yeah, my wrapper's still shit. You can see it flaking up there. It's a nice cigar. It is.
Yeah, real quick, why did they spell, is that how you spell Geneva, or is that Geneva in the language?
In French, Swiss French or whatever,
Okay, that's.
Geneve. No, Geneva in like American English is just
Yeah.
Geneva.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Huh.
It's like all E's with a little accent mark in French. Le François.
Yeah, we don't have accent marks. That's another weird thing about the English language. No accent marks whatsoever.
Je ne comprends pas le français.
Yeah. Je ne sais pas.
I'll tell you what, That's a good whiskey, though.
Dude, it is. That apple is awesome as shit.
It is, man.
But that probably makes sense why it looks like a apple juice bottle.
I don't know. I feel like that was a little bit of a branding miss because it kind of looks low end.
It does, but they were like, hey, this is an apple.
It's still cool looking. Like, you can see that shit on your shelf.
I like that teal patina.
Yeah, cork. On the lid. Like, it looks coastal.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Coral. There we go.
That's it. Yeah. No, coral is pink. I mean, actual coral is that color, but the color coral is pink.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
It wasn't me. So, we are smoking the Davidoff Winston Churchill Toro 6x54, big, big cigar, and we are pairing it with this Glenglassa Coastal Malt.
Yep. Smoking a Churchill that's not a Churchill, though.
This is the hell. A Churchill is not a Churchill. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. This is the Sand End. It did win the Whiskey Advocate Whiskey of the Year. And I decided to make this a luxury podcast, so I'm wearing my Rolex Oyster Perpetual Day Date in 18 karat white gold. And we just decided this is the luxury show.
Yeah, I was like.
Yeah. So, you know, we're getting close on time. We're gonna have to wrap this up soon. So from a luxury standpoint, what's your take on the cigar, other than the fact that you have to pay a lot of money for it?
Not like a personal attack or knock, but it's like, for $23 I would expect a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I know this almost sounds like a ranking, but you just asked me, so
yeah,
you know, two or three notes the whole way. Like I said, I would have expected something more like, unless this is like some, did you find anything like which Cuban exactly that he liked, or like what blend, or like, maybe not blend, but you know, like, did he like the Connecticuts? Did he like the Maduros?
Back then, I'm pretty sure they were all Candela. They all had green wrappers back then. Mm-hmm. Very hard to find something that wasn't. They were all natural, but green, like picked green. Like, they didn't age them as much as they do now. That just wasn't a thing, which is probably why he had them on his estate aging.
That makes sense.
But yeah, like, they only produced natural wrappers back then, but they were green.
Cool.
So yeah, I looked up some of the old like Romeos and stuff, but there's nothing, because, you know, the only thing that you can get info on is cigars from that period,
mm-hmm.
which are fucking old now.
Right.
So they don't look the same or
and anything. A lot of them don't even exist anymore. Well, yeah. Like the blends or the branding.
Totally. Whatever. You know, they've got so many hybrid seeds mm-hmm. and everything now. But that was you know, like, just native tobacco at the time.
Yeah.
So, and they were doing like old school hybridization where you, like, you know, pollinate your best seeds and stuff like that. Yeah. But not the, like, in a fucking laboratory, you know, blasting DNA and stuff.
Oh, by the way, that's where the name Churchill Vitola came from, was because he liked those. So what were they called if they were Churchills when Churchill was smoking a Churchill?
I don't know. I know that the Cubans used numbers for their Vitolas.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they were all Parejos. Like,
right.
They would make something similar to, a Presidente, where it's like fatter in the middle.
Okay.
And that was it. Like, that was the fancy one. They were pretty much all Parejos, and all he smoked was Parejos. So it probably had some kind of number designation or something.
Yeah. I was going to say, I could agree with that, because from the time I've been smoking till now, the amount of Vitolas that there are insane, like Torpedo, all of this.
Yeah. All kinds of fancy.
Right, stuff.
Well, I think I'm in the same boat as you. First of all, the quality is nowhere near what I would expect.
Yeah, especially with that.
Yeah, it's just out of line for a cigar at this price point.
Oh, you didn't say how your band came off.
Oh, it came off fine. Yeah, it came off great. So give me points for that.
There we go. Yeah, sweet.
Yep.
I think they used fruit pectin instead of glue.
Look, you can tell by looking at that. That's pectin.
Yep. I think that needs to be the industry standard.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Using glue just needs to stop.
I know pectin's hard to use, especially if you're using the same pectin you're using on the cigar, because, you know, it's like smeary.
Yeah.
And it'll come off, so you got to be careful. But I think it should be the standard. But I mean, it's a fine cigar, and it's, you know, like, mellow and mid-bodied. but it's definitely I don't think it lives up to the price point. I'll say that.
No, tell you what, they definitely aged the hell out of this cigar because it's barely oily even at the burn line.
Yeah, there's nothing bubbling up, so it's well aged. Yeah, I was trying to think, like, if I wanted a luxury cigar, what am I getting?
I know what I would get.
Go ahead.
I would probably get like a Plasencia Almafuerte Salmon.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, so if I'm going to spend this kind of money on a cigar, dude, there's so many that are a luxury experience that are just better.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that simple. So, and you know, there's a meme out there among cigar aficionados that Davidoff is overpriced. I guess we'll talk about that in the ranking section.
Yeah,
but it seems pretty fair.
Yeah.
You know. So, all right. Well, I think it is time to land this airplane. We've got this Glenglassa Sand End Whiskey Advocates Whiskey of the Year last year. And we are pairing that with this Davidoff Winston Churchill Toro 6x54, retailing at $23.89. And we had a chance to smoke the cigar, and it was, you know, it had presence and notes, and then we paired it with the whiskey.
Yeah.
I think the whiskey muted the cigar a lot. Not a bad pairing, though. Nothing flashed, like, went together. Yeah. But
the cigar didn't do anything to the whiskey, and then, I mean, and the whiskey technically didn't do anything to the cigar.
Yeah. Like, no nude notes emerged.
Right.
Or something. So it wasn't really a pairing, per se.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Does Davidoff have their own, like, liquors?
Or I'm not
at least,
sure.
Like, a partnership? You know, like, hey.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know they used to. Yeah, they used to have luxury goods, but I don't think they ever got into whiskey. Have to look that one up. So this has an Ecuadorian wrapper. This is just like a natural wrapper. Mexican binder, Dominican and Nicaraguan filler. Not much else disclosed. And retails for basically $24. So why don't we jump into the ranking and talk about presentation?
Okay.
So
presentation, we didn't have the box, so not their fault. But as far as the cigar with the band, for it being, from my understanding, for it being Davidoff, that's on par. And it looked, even though it was a simple, just a silhouette of Churchill, but that white and gold really made it look elegant. Like, okay, I guess this is a Davidoff that I'm going to be smoking. So it wasn't terrible. I would give it a Nate.
And there's the box.
Okay. Oh, wow. Is there...
Yeah. It also comes in like a 5-pack that's like...
That's a cool box.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Oh, it's a slide lid too, not a flip lid.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, I think 8 is fair for presentation. I think it has a, like I said, Lexus or Mercedes-Benz kind of vibe where it's like, you know, kind of old money,
yeah,
solid, just nice, but not ostentatious.
Yeah.
Doesn't jump out and grab you. It's definitely not like avant-garde in any way.
Right.
This reminds me of like a W124 Benz S-Class. You know, just like a blocky German. It's here, it's nice, it's not, you know, sporty, ostentatious, or anything else.
I guess they just went with white because of the elegance, because he's more of a black.
He was. I like the white because Johnny Midas.
Yeah, it made the gold pop. Yeah.
But I think 8 is fair for there. And then price at $24.
I want to give it a 7. Not only because of, you know, I was expecting a little bit more in the quality as well, but like I just wanted a little bit more out of the cigar for it being $23, $24.
Yeah.
And that also eliminates itself from accessibility to other people.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I understand brand protection. I had a 5 for price.
Okay.
Right. At $24, there's a lot of cigars in the humidor I'm going to pick ahead of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, we picked it up to smoke. I smoked it, had to dab it off. It's nice. But the next time I'm spending $24, man, there's a lot of stuff to look at.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got Padrones, you got Plasencias, and you got Fuentes. There's a lot of good cigars. So I think, I just don't think the cigar lives up to the price point.
No.
I think it's a branding.
It's definitely a branding. It is what it is there. Truthfully, I would probably put the cigar at 15, 16 range.
Yeah. I think it's a great cigar, $15. And then how about construction?
Well, for me, the cigar held up pretty well. I mean, the burn line, it got weird at times, but it wasn't really an issue. I didn't have as many issues as you did.
Got a phenomenal ash.
Yeah, I did. That was probably the biggest. We need to start bringing measuring tape. Yeah. That was probably the biggest ash in since I've been smoking with you. But for construction, for me, I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, and I had a 5. I lost my wrapper.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't like babysitting cigars and you know, licking and sticking and all that bullshit. So we'll give it a 7. That's probably fair. All right, moving into the important but subjective realms. So let's talk about flavor. So we got some, I really like the like mellow, you know, flavor, but the smoke was harsh.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, strong on the palate. The whiskey actually really helped with that.
Yeah,
it like did. Dulled the palate down. But it was basically like cedar and leather with some like red pepper flakes and a little cream maybe.
And what did we say, mid-body maybe?
Yeah, mid. Mid-strength, mid-body.
Yeah.
But the smoke feels like it's strong.
But it's not, which it's is not, weird. No. It's not a strong cigar, but the
no
smoke
buzz.
Is.
I mean, we're even pairing it with alcohol.
Yeah.
You know. So what are your thoughts on flavor?
Flavor, I'm going to give it a 7 because we got 3. They weren't terrible notes. They were great. I was just expecting a little bit more, honestly.
Yeah, I think 7 is really fair on this one. You know, there's nothing to write home about, but also it's just good.
Yeah, it's a good stick. I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah, it didn't change much. Definitely kind of a same flavor all the way through.
Right.
You did get that little hint of nutmeg in the second third. Yeah.
Which wasn't bad. I was like, ooh, I actually like that.
Yeah. And it complemented the creamy sort of. Not great smoke output.
Right.
Would have liked a little more smoke off of it.
Yeah. I didn't get much off of the Ecuadorian, honestly.
No, it was super hidden.
Yeah. It was barely even there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing like that nutmeg came from the Ecuadorian, is my guess. Yeah. But like other than that, that Ecuadorian was so muted throughout the whole cigar.
And I would say that you know, as a compliment, the blend worked really well together.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right. And then experience.
Experience? I'm going to give it an 8. Had a blast with the Glengossa. Glengossa. Sounds German. Glengossa.
Yeah, well, you know, that's England. Half German, half French. so. You know, use case way too expensive for much. You know,
definitely not walking the dog or
no.
Doing yard work.
I think it's a lounge cigar. You could gift it.
Yeah, you definitely could.
You know, it's got the price point and the mildness that you could gift it.
Yeah.
Possibly not really a celebration cigar, but it could be like a groomsman's gift.
Right.
You know, something like that. It's nice enough for that.
Definitely could take it to the Derby.
Yeah, you could take it to the Derby.
It's definitely a Derby cigar.
Yeah, for sure.
And clearly.
And Parliament.
Right.
Take it to Parliament. Yeah, I think probably 7 for me.
Yeah, that'll be a 7 for me as well. Oh, wait, no. What did I say?
You said 8.
I said 8 over here, lost in the sauce.
Eight or 7.
Sauce.
And so that brings the total score for this Davidoff Winston Churchill Toro 6x54 to 35.
Okay.
So mid-30s. I think there's two things that kept the score down for me. The first is I expect more from Davidoff.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And I expect more from the price point. And I expect those two things to go together.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, you know, you can spend $65,000 on an electric Kia or $65,000 on a Mercedes-Benz E-Class.
Yeah.
If I buy the E-Class, I expect it to be nicer.
Right.
Right. Even though they're the same price point.
Yeah.
But this came across like an electric Kia.
Yeah.
You know, like it's priced like a Benz.
Yeah, I think, the price.
But it drives like a Kia.
Yeah, definitely the price came from we're Davidoff and then we're putting a Churchill name on it.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Now, that being said, it's nice and flavorful. And I think if these were priced at 12 to 15, I'd probably buy it again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at 24, I just can't, man.
Maybe once a year.
Yeah, like I just can't. There's so many good cigars. When you get to the above 20, like 20 to 25 range,
Right.
dude, I mean, you got the Blanco BG Reserve Figurado, you
Yeah.
got the
Yeah, some
Plasencia
Plasencia.
Alma Fuerte,
Some LFDs.
several Padrones,
Yeah.
not to mention special editions and
Yeah.
stuff like that. And it's in a weird price category too, because there's kind of like that 15 to 20 window,
Yeah.
and then there's like the $40 window,
Right.
and this one's like mid 20s.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I gotta agree. This I don't think this competes with that range.
So that's a wrap. Please reach out to Burnline Podcast, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com, or at Burnline Podcast on all the socials. Check us out, drop us a DM on Instagram, Facebook, and of course our YouTube channel. When we're not canceled, when we're not shadow banned by YouTube, you can leave us
Yeah.
comments there. Fantastic time smoking this Winston Churchill from Davidoff, paired with the Glenglassa Sand End Bay, the Whiskey Advocates Whiskey of the Year
Yeah, that was cool.
2023.
That was good. I'm glad he brought it.
Reasonably affordable for what it is. For all of you guys out there in the interwebs, have a great week.